1071 CJCS FM. Good morning. I'm Jamie Cottle. It's the CJCS 100th and it's Voices and Memories from the Past. And joining us is Craig Thompson. Now, you know Craig from Ballinrand Entertainment, but you might not know about Craig's connection here at the radio station, CJCS. Craig, good to see you.
Thanks, Jamie. Good morning.
Well, Craig, let's get right to it. You were here at the radio station. You were part of the CJCS story.
I was. Not at this location. We were located next to what is now Popeyes, Tim Hortons on Ontario Street, right at the in that plaza at the corner. And I started there when I was about 17 or 18 years old.
Okay. And what attracted you to the radio station? You're a Stratfordite. You're from Stratford.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, CJCS at the time, which was owned by Countryside Broadcasting, was very, as they are today, active in the community. And they did these weekly segments called High School Reports. And there were two high schools in Stratford at the time, Northwestern and Central. And I was in the AV club and doing announcements and working on the yearbook. So I was really into that communications thing. And the vice principal at the time, John Miller, said, hey, the radio station reached out looking for someone to do the high school report on Tuesday nights. And I said, I'll do it.
Wow.
And it involved, you know, doing sports scores. And it was a pre-taped segment. I went into the studio and recorded it. But that's how I got my start. And the people who were working at the station at the time, and I think it was Braden Duer and Dean Robinson in the news department, said, you're interested in this, you should come. We could use you on weekends.
Okay.
So I started at the tender age of 17 or 18 doing Sunday morning, weekend morning, Sunday morning DJ news, everything, and then filling in doing news at other points of time. And eventually it led to a paid job, summer job.
That is fantastic. So what was it like doing the high school report kind of fresh into that for you? Was it intimidating? Did you take to it right away?
I took to it right away. I mean, I was practicing news reading at home when I was like about 12 or 13, and I had a shortwave radio, and I was listening to, you know, Voice of America and, you know, the Russian radio and all that kind of stuff. So I was really into radio and really into news. So I felt right at home and wasn't intimidated at all.
And then the Sunday morning show, what was that like, first doing that?
Well, that was crazy because you don't get any training. And the Sunday morning at the show, Sunday morning show involved waking the radio station up in the morning with the national anthem and then going into a bank of religious programming interspersed with news and ending off at the day with, in this order, news, in memoriam, and sports.
Okay.
And so that was always memorable. But the funny thing about the Sunday morning show is that once or twice I slept in, and I would get a phone call from Bob Smith, who is the station manager, sort of inquiring as to where I was. And then I got a little bit, I wouldn't say lazy, but Tim Hortons was just around the corner.
Sure, yeah, just
and
a few doors down.
And these religious programs, like the People's Gospel Hour with Pastor Perry F. Rockwood, were sent over on reel-to-reel tapes. And in the control room, somebody who had installed the banks of reel-to-reel, either they were leaning out a little bit or the lock on the head on the tape deck wasn't, they were vertical, right? And so if you didn't mount the reel-to-reel tape of these pre-recorded religious programs, sometimes the magnetic tape might get a little bit twisted and speed up or do something. So I was over at Tim Hortons getting my coffee, and I came back, and for some reason, why is the People's Gospel Hour over so soon? and so he was like speaking like Donald Duck. It was going like double speed, People's Gospel Hour.
Oh, my gosh.
For all who write and send a fellowship gift, we will send you offer number 445.
That was pretty much
in
the voice.
A beautiful Bible box.
And you can imagine that.
And
it's faster and faster.
Halifax, Nova Scotia, B3J. 3NY.
There you go.
So
wow.
I knew the B3J, but not the not the final postal code. But that was the message. So
oh,
we had a lot
God.
Of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you know, in memoriam, it was really interesting because you were instructed to read the news a certain way, very factual, and then you had to put some sadness in your voice for the in memoriam, and then you'd come back with a punch. with sports all back to back. So you have three different tones. That's the news. The sympathy of the community is extended to those bereaved by the passing of. And then, now the sports.
And what did you think of doing all that? I'm fascinated. Were you more attracted to the news and that sort of thing, or a DJ or on-air announcer?
The problem that I had with being a DJ is ad-libbing. I don't know how you do it. I realized early on that the ad-libbing that I had to do was not me. I was more the facts and news. I was very comfortable writing and very comfortable delivering the news. But coming up with speaking to this microphone, pretending it's somebody else, I could never get that going. I can do it now, but small talk on the radio thing, it's 4 o'clock. This is a beautiful song. Now I'm more comfortable in my own skin. I could actually do that because who cares what people think? But then I was more focused on, I got to be, like in the 1970s, it was like formulaic DJ, it's 8 o'clock, time for, that kind of stuff. So like, we got this. And then you would have to do the intro to the song up to the first post. And so you had to time, not only you had to think of something clever to say, which sounds inane today, but all DJs at the time had to introduce the song and ruin the first part of the song because you're talking up to the first vocal.
That's right. Got to talk up to that vocal.
Yeah,
for
you
sure.
You don't want to hear just instrumental.
No, heavens no.
And the poor musicians created this work of art, and we're talking over it. So
that's what we do.
I wasn't very good at that, but I've that was sort of my start. And the funny thing is that I kept air checks like everybody does at the time. And when I was accepted into the Ryerson Journalism Program, I said, I need a part-time job because Ryerson had no residences, nothing. I had to rent an apartment. And so I sent my demo reel into CFRB in Toronto, and I get a call from the news director. I didn't say how old I was or what I was doing, and I go into the newsroom at CFRB in my first year of Ryerson. I was 19 or 20? And he said, I didn't expect you to be this young.
Wow. So,
and he said, we do have a job if you like to do it. I was really impressed with your tape. And didn't Lloyd Robertson work at CJCS too?
Yeah.
Or all that kind of stuff?
Conversation.
And
gets going
so
there.
I got the weekend overnight news, going from CJCS to doing CFRB overnights. I would go in at Friday night at 11. I would go to school all week.
Oh, my goodness.
Friday night at 11, get off the air at 7. Saturday night at 11, get off the air. And I don't remember if I did Sunday night, but I think I did 2 or 3 nights a week.
Wow, what a difference from CJCS to that. My gosh, wow.
And it was. And when you're young, you don't really sort of appreciate the people who you're around. And, of course, there was no selfies back then. You didn't carry around a camera. So here I was sharing a newsroom, not at the same time, but sometimes, with Gordon Sinclair, Bob Hesketh, Earl Warren, Bill Deegan, and the morning show host of the time, very famous, Wally Crowder. And really, I didn't really sort of fathom the opportunity, really. But the interesting thing is that a couple of really funny stories. I was kind of teased because I was like the kid. And so when the big shots came in the morning on Saturday morning or whatever, they would always send me over to McDonald's and get the breakfast for them and deliver. He's just going to go back and sleep at his student apartment. So let's send him out and get him breakfast. So send me out for breakfast. But I think the most telling thing for me was my grandmother was an ardent CFRB fan. And she couldn't believe that her grandson was working at CFRB.
Because this was a powerhouse radio station.
It was radio station in North America.
Yeah,
it was
crazy.
And back when they were at Young and St. Clair, you'd walk into this storied hallway, and they'd have pictures up and down the hallways of all the legends, right? And it's a different thing when you hear voices and imagine what it's like in the studio, and it's quite different when you go into this industrial kind of crazy environment. But I brought my grandmother in one time, and all her heroes were up on the wall. And I can only imagine what it was like for her. My son's working at this radio station.
Wow, with this type of talent. We'll continue our conversation with Craig Thompson as we look back. It's our CJCS 100 celebrations. More to come later this hour right here, 107.1 CJCS FM.